Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your host, Wes Everett, with my guest, Alex, from Radio King. Alex, how you been, man?
Going good, man. Just trying to survive the heat. How you doing this beautiful Saturday?
It's still pretty here right now, too. We got storms coming in later, but hey, everybody needs a little rain, right?
I'd love some of that right now.
Yeah, I hear you guys are getting that Georgia weather up in Utah.
That's right. I'm the only one up here. The rest of them are in Texas, and one of our guitar players is in New Mexico.
Very cool. So how do you guys, how do y'all do your band practices? Do y'all just do Skype or virtual or?
Well, this is the cool dynamic about this band is we started out as a band back in 2005, all together. And, basically we played East Texas, Louisiana. We're just playing all over the place. And, we were together for about 3 years and broke up. And I think it was February of this year, we kind of got back to talking to each other, and I was like, hey, let's record, our songs from back then and, see how good it is. So we decided to just do everything via internet, thanks to the, pandemic and all. Yeah. And we just set everything up that way and sent tracks to everybody and back and forth and got everything done. Thank God for Dropbox.
Yes. Cool. Looks like Jimmy is coming in. I'll go ahead and bring him in.
All right.
Yeah, Dropbox has definitely been a major component for a lot of people around.
Oh yeah, man, it's been a lifesaver for everyone trying to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like he's still connecting in here.
Yeah, he's trying to get in here. Yeah, we can just wait on him if you want to. I'll just cut this part out.
Sure, that's fine. Maybe he's got the Wi-Fi when he should be using the 5G.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy how quickly we've moved to 5G, ain't it?
I know. I was like, wait, my phone got this?
Yeah, I know I'm due for an upgrade soon, but
yeah. What kind of phone you got?
I'm an Android guy.
Oh yeah. I tried to go back to Android and then I was like, I'm an old man. I can't use an Android iPhone. What's up, Jimmy?
What up?
Oh, you're rocking a video, huh?
Oh, that's what we're doing.
I mean, I can get on video too if you want, but I don't think he's recording a video.
Okay, all good.
Yeah, mine got damaged during the flood, so I'm kind of no camera right now, but soon I'll be back to that.
Rock on.
Dude, both of y'all got killer little setups in there. I love the guitars in the background from what little bit I saw of Jimmy's.
Oh yeah, I can pop mine back on here for a minute. I'm actually at my music school here. I got starting lessons in about a half an hour.
Well, that's awesome.
So my memorabilia and stuff, people that I've met and played with, hanging in the background, and a few of my guitars over here.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Very cool, guys. So Jimmy, you're doing a school. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it'll be 20 years in September that I've had this. It's the Arlington School of Music. And, we teach all the main instruments, guitar, of course, piano, drums, voice, violin, saxophone, bass, ukulele. Have about 150 or so students at the moment, I think. And, I love doing that. I've been doing it almost as long as I've been playing the guitar, just enjoy helping people kind of find their own musical path. And I've got students that are into everything from you know, Metallica to AC/DC to Taylor Swift to pretty much you name it. You know, we started as young as about 7 on the guitar. And I've always enjoyed it. You know, I love watching people evolve and kind of come into their own as players. And it's been a great thing.
That's awesome, man. I wanted to ask you this. What is your age range on students? You said from 7 to.
Yeah, we actually start as young as 5 on piano and violin.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got students from that age on up to adults. You know, I've got several adult students that are, you know, like retired age that kind of picking up the guitar for the first time, something they always wanted to do, but, you know, had another career. So it's pretty vast. You know, the majority of the students, they would be falling between probably like 8 and, you know, 16, 17. But yeah, we've got like all age groups. And actually just started a couple of weeks ago, what we call it a music kids, ASM, Arlington School of Music, music kids class for 3 to 5 year olds to kind of give them an introductory to music. Learning about rhythm and singing, different things like that, is to kind of prepare them for one-on-one lessons when they turn 5.
That's very cool. I love that, man. I love, you know, being able to teach the next generation coming up, because, you know, all of us rockers ain't going to live forever. Got to have somebody to take it over, right?
Yeah, that's right. One thing that's kind of surprised me over the past 10 years or so, you know, when I started playing, of course, it was in the late 80s. And, you know, we all had our own groups of guitar heroes that we kind of called ours, you know, Eddie Van Halen and George Lynch and, you know, all those guys, you know, from, you know, like every 80s band had a hotshot gunslinger guitar player, you know, Warren DeMartini, Paul Gilbert, Yngwie. And, you know, when there was the classic rock guys that was kind of the generation before us, you know, like Clapton and Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page. And of course, through my guitar teacher, I kind of got turned on to those guys. But I mean, I still had my group of players that I kind of consider my main influences. Students nowadays, I've got, you know, 10 to 15 year old students whose their influences are literally the same or similar as mine. You know, John Petrucci and Paul Gilbert and Yngwie, you know, they're all going back and finding those guys. It's weird. I guess there's that big gap there between the mid to late 90s into the mid 2000s to where, you know, guitar really wasn't the instrument of popularity, I guess, that it was all those years prior to that, you know. So it's like kids didn't really have any, you know, or very few like guitar heroes to kind of look up to or aspire to be, you know. So they were left to go back and you know, be influenced and pick up on all the players that, you know, were my influences, you know, Randy Rhoads and Zakk Wylde and Dimebag and all that. So just kind of an interesting thing, you know, pick up. Of course, there's a lot of great players nowadays, you know, YouTube guys and all that. But I think as far as guitarists that have like a signature sound and that you can pick out their who they are from the first couple of notes, you know, that's been missing for a while. You know, you could hear Eddie Van Halen in the first couple of notes, you can know who that is, or you could recognize Jeff Beck from the first couple of notes. But it's still, again, it's very cool to see, you know, kids that are younger than I was when I started. I was almost 17 when I started guitar. And they're coming in wanting to learn, you know, Van Halen and Megadeth and Zeppelin and that. So it's awesome. I love it.
Living Scars Underneath It All.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Alex, going back to Radio King, where do you guys get your inspiration from?
Well, I know Jimmy had just named off some good ones that they are inspired musically. You know, Motley Crue, Rush, Dream Theater, Megadeth. You know, vocally, it's different for me because, you know, they were big guitar bands. Vocally, I'm more of a Scott Weiland, Chris Cornell, Brent Smith, you know, that's kind of my inspirations for, you know, as a vocalist.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I am troubled about, you named all these great guitarists and great vocalists. Nowhere in there did I hear Angus Young or Bon Scott.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying the influence, you know, AC/DC's had on just music in general. You know, they're a great band. I wouldn't call them an influence on us personally as far as like direction of music and everything. But yeah, I mean, you can't really, you know, rock or metal wouldn't be where it is today without, you know, either one of those guys. You know, they've left such a huge impact for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was only saying that, you know, jokingly, probably one of my favorite bands growing up, always has been. And that's really cool that you guys are giving back as well as producing. You know, you're making new music, plus you're helping bring in more students and more bands in the future.
Right. Yeah, back when we, so like the Radio King story kind of goes back a bit, you know, we, the other guys in the band, you know, myself, Mark Strophus on guitar, Scott Crawford on drums, John Cruz on bass. We were all in a band together from 94 until about 2003 called Seventh Veil. Actually that band was formed by those other guys in high school, you know, so they'd been playing together about 3-4 years before I met them. And, you know, we released a couple of albums through the late 90s with that band. I had another singer named Jim Arnett. Well, Jim had decided to, you know, take a break from music for a bit, or at least performing live around that time, 2003. And we wanted to continue going, you know, writing and still playing music. So we decided to kind of, you know, start fresh and with a new name and kind of a bit of a new direction. And so, you know, Mark came up with the name Radio King. And we started auditioning singers, and that audition process lasted a good 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. And we probably auditioned, and I don't even know, at least 30 people. You know, we kind of started and stopped with a few, you know, went a few months. We did an unreleased album with another friend, singer-songwriter named David Thompson. But it still wasn't like what we were looking for. We kind of had a certain vision in mind of what we wanted. At the time, again, it was kind of a weird thing. You know, we were all influenced by these heavy guitar-oriented bands. And at that point in time, 2003, 4, 5, it still hadn't really came back around yet that kind of music with like guitar centered songs was what people really wanted to hear. But it was kind of hard not to write that way. You know, it's just kind of who we were. And I guess one of the bands that we were kind of looking to at the time of what we wanted vocally was a band called Saliva. You know, still out touring. I think they're coming through here in a few weeks on like their 25th anniversary or something like that. But their singer at the time was a guy named Josie Scott. And I really dug his singing a lot. You know, he was able to have the real melodic vocal style. He could get real aggressive. And we kind of wanted somebody that could do both. You know, our previous singer in Seventh Veil was a great singer, you know, definitely an 80s influenced singer, but, you know, wasn't really one of the guys that could get real aggressive and heavy. And we were wanting to kind of push forward and get a little heavier in our writing. And we wanted a vocalist that could do that as well, but also could like still sing a very melodic ballad, you know, that girls would like and everything. So I guess it was around 2005 or so. I think Mark saw an ad, you know, we had a bunch of the songs written, you know, musically. We just, you know, we'd have people come in and they would try out with this, and they would throw some vocals on, some lyrics on some of the tunes. And, but again, it never seemed like it was the right fit. And then, Mark came across an ad on some online, musicians wanted or looking for musicians site, and came across, Alex and, shot him a message. And, he was interested. He had a couple of demos that he had recorded and sent them to us. And we kind of reworked those our own way. From really the first time he came in and jammed with us, like, he was the guy, you know? So we took off and started writing, I guess, in, you know, 2005 and 6, and amassed what is on the CD that was released a few weeks ago. I'll let Alex take over, give his side of the story too. That's what I
can remember. Man, I forgot I was even here. I was like, this is an awesome story. Listen to this guy. He could talk forever. No, I'm just playing. Yeah, man, I was just, you know, I've been doing music my whole life, you know, started out in choir, voice lessons, you know, all that kind of stuff. Luckily, no opera, but most of it was just choir and, you know, vocally training for my life. So I always wanted to be in a band, and I always made up bands when I was in school. They never went anywhere because I could never find anyone that could play any instruments. It was always me and a guitar, and I'm awful guitar. I can play it, but I would never play it on a stage. Let's just put it that way. But I was a songwriter my whole life. So I put up this awful demo. Somehow they heard it and was like, man, this is workable. So I came in, and I think I sang like a Stone by Audioslave. Is that? Yeah, I think I sang that for you guys, and they liked it. And so we went from there. They literally gave me a CD and like, here's all the songs we've been writing for the past 2 years. There's no vocals. So I literally took that home. And the next time I saw him, like a week later, I had like everything ready. Like we had all the songs set to go.
Dark step song, it was be drunk.
Focus, good, good, good.
Cook, you're the one who won't see why.
More to run them hard.
Cook, see the way that you could be.
Love the road I'm sorry.
Leap, get away and set me free.
Night of dynamite.
You will see.
The world under. I will be.
Your recognition.
Both of inside. Step into mine. Cause you will die. You don't fit him.
Help me fight the way out. Show me how to lead. Buried, see your true self. Step up and wear the crown of fools.
Is it wrong this time?
Can I decide if this is right?
Or this happening?
Just die inside, don't try and hide.
Now I want to die.
Teach, I know the way that you will find.
Unleash my agony.
You will see.
Don't run from this. I will be.
Your recognition.
Both of inside. Step into mine. And you will die. You don't fit here.
Help me find the way out. Show me how to lead. Burning, see your true self. Stand up and wear the crown of all.
Nail bite, crown of filth.
that's killer, man. Just hear your music, hear your songs, and let's do it.
Yeah, it was just, it's one of those things, like whenever I hear stuff in my head and it starts flowing like, you know, no other. It's just, it's something that I really enjoy doing. I love songwriting. So when you have like the perfect canvas, like they provided with the music, then it's so easy to add those touches and, you know, add those vocals on top of that.
True. That's definitely cool how you guys got together and just been rocking it from here and going there. Speaking of, what's been some of your favorite venues that you guys have played as a full band?
Well, I mean, we'd be going back a bit, you know, some of these venues aren't in existence anymore, but, it was always great playing, a venue called Firewater, you know, that was in Dallas, actually the Gas Monkey Bar and Grill now. So similar, but they've kind of redone the stage and things like that. You know, we did some good gigs out in Tyler, Texas, you know, the Tyler Guitar Festival for a couple of years in a row. Like I said, you know, there's this kind of big gap in between, you know, of the album as it's released recently here and, you know, kind of where we started, you know.
Don't forget about George Lynch.
Yeah, we opened for George Lynch, and one of my biggest guitar heroes. That was a great experience in Fort Texas. That was in the winter of 2005, I think it was. You know, we had opened a show for, I believe it was one of Rob Zombie's guitar players, not John Five. You know, he's one of my favorites too. I've gotten to open up for him a few times in my one of my other original bands the past few years. But I was just trying to think back to the different shows we did. You know, it was great.
I know we did one with
that's like Scallion. A legendary place in Dallas, and you know, unfortunately, it closed about a year ago. But yeah, I don't know. You remember anymore, Alex?
Yeah, when we played with the X's, Brett Scallion's band, right, that was got to meet Brett Scallion back at Curtain Club, Deep Ellum, Texas, man. That's some good stuff, you know, especially meeting him, and he was a genuine cool guy. You know, if you think a rock star, you know, you're like, man, this guy, he's cool. He's talking about how he makes moonshine and, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, man, this guy's cool. So yeah, that was a cool deal. And, you know,
how he stepped away from that band, you know, Fuel, huge, massive band, you know, and he just, I guess, wasn't satisfied in his soul with the music they were doing and literally left that band and started the X's and was funding it all himself. I mean, they were touring in his, you know, like, I don't know, Escalade or something, you know, and everything himself, playing these little clubs, you know, on weeknights and everything, you know, but he was totally happy, you know, he was kind of doing what he wanted to do. And, you know, and I mean, that was cool to see, you know, that he was willing to take that chance of, you know, leaving an established name and brand, you know, to go off on his own and everything, you know, but yeah, definitely a cool guy. And that was a cool gig.
Pretty awesome, man. You know, let's talk about some of your music that you guys have written, produced, and released. This past couple episodes, we played Goodbye from you guys. Talk us through that one. What was it like putting that song together and writing it?
So I mean, that was, I know we had the music for that before Alex joined. I mean, I remember a couple of other people coming in. We even had a girl, we tried out a couple of girls, female singers who were great, but again, just kind of wasn't what we were looking for. But I can't remember like all the details of like who came up with like what riff and everything. I mean, I think mostly that was probably myself and Mark, the other guitar player. Came up with the basic chord progression, and I remember us reworking parts of the pre-chorus. You know, I think in some part of that tune, I was, you know, I know it doesn't sound like it, but I mean, you know, I was a big Yngwie fan too, you know, so I was into using all these exotic modes, you know, harmonic minor scales and all that, and trying to like work that in wherever I could and still trying to make it sound kind of, you know, modern rock or whatever. So I think that the pre-chorus of that tune originally was a little bit different. It had more chunkier power chords, and I guess it just wasn't really working. It kind of took the tune in a little different direction. And so I think Mark and maybe it was like one of the girl singers had asked if I could rework it. So I ended up reworking it to that single note part, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And kind of followed the chord progression I'd originally come up with, but did it with like single notes, and it worked a lot better. And then as far as the solos on that and everything, you know, another favorite guitar player of mine from the 80s was a guy named Mark Kendall from the band Great White. So there's definitely a couple of nods to him, you know, in the approach of that solo and the tone I was using and everything. But yeah, when we gave it to Alex, you know, again, like within like a week, he came in and had all the words written, and it just came together, and it turned into one of my favorite songs I've ever been a part of.
Nice. Alex, do you want to add anything to that? Or?
Oh yeah, man. Just, you know, when I heard it, I was like, dude, this is a badass song. And so I knew I had to make it, you know, the best that I could. So I sat down, and that was one of those things, you know, I heard the music, and literally like 35 minutes later, I'm like, bam, here's all the words, here's all the, you know, all the melodies and all that stuff. And, you know, I brought it to them and they loved it. And I still listen to it every day. So, you know, I'm just kind of one of those weirdos. I guess I like to hear my own self sing. So, but yeah, you know, I try to channel my inner Scott Weiland and just, you know, bust out those low parts in the song. So yeah, man, I love it. It's a great song.
Yeah, definitely a killer song, killer track, man. We love playing it. What are your three goals for Radio King for the next 12 months?
Well, I'll say, I guess one is just getting the name back out there, because, you know, like, you know, we had a run there from the time, I guess, you know, Alex joined, and we finished those tunes and started kind of working towards the goal of recording them as an album. And, you know, unfortunately, Alex had to step away from the band, you know, right as we had finished recording the music and everything. So it was kind of a big blow to us. After the long search, you know, of looking for the right guy. And so, you know, we for a short time after that, we carried forward with you know, someone else, you know, a cool guy and everything. His name was Russ. But it just kind of like, after everything we'd been through for those years, kind of building up and auditioning people, and then, you know, having to deal with Alex stepping away, we just kind of lost it, you know, as far as it just kind of crushed us, you know, emotionally and everything. It just wasn't what it was, and we kind of just went our separate ways and went on to other projects and everything. Alex reached out to us about I don't know, 6-8 months ago about the idea of re-recording, or, you know, redoing the album, you know, as it should have been in the first place, you know, with him on vocals and everything. And you know, it was a great sounding idea, but I felt like, man, you know, as busy as we all are, you know, we all live in different places now, you know, some of us, you know, Mark lives in New Mexico, Alex is in Utah, you know, we're in Dallas. I just like, man, I can't foresee the ability to redo these songs from scratch and start anew in any, you know, conceivable time frame. And luckily Scott, our drummer, turns out he still had all the master, you know, studio tracks, the WAV files of all the music and everything, to just about every song, I think, outside of maybe one. And so that was just like, wow, you know, this huge thing lifted off of us, to where it's like, hey, this really could happen. You know, maybe we could finally have this album recorded the way it was supposed to be and have people, you know, hear it as it should have been in the first place. So at that point, it was really all on Alex. You know, he went out and bought a home studio set up, and did the crash course in Pro Tools. And I mean, and literally seemed like as fast as he wrote the lyrics in the first place, that's how fast he started laying down the vocals, and they were just incredible, you know? So within, you know, a month, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, you know, all the vocals were done. They were sent off to be mixed. And now, you know, we literally have the album we had dreamed about and wanted back then. But in a, you know, strange twist of things, I mean, I really feel like the, I guess the state of music now, you know, style wise, I think it probably fits in a little better now than it did back when we wrote it, you know.
It does.
Not saying we were ahead of our time, but it's just, you know, things go in cycles, you know, and it's kind of a little bit more in favor of the guitar oriented, you know, rock bands, you know, nowadays than it was at that point. So it's almost like, you know, maybe everything happened for a reason, you know, it's better that we're getting another chance now, you know. So that would be my one thing, is like, just, you know, the fact that we're able to introduce this album as it should have been to the world, and have people hear it. And you know, you can't really put a time limit on you know, good music. And we feel this is some good, great songs, you know, some of the, again, the best I've ever been involved in. So, you know, I'm excited to see where things go, you know? So that would be my one. So I'll let Alex answer 2 and 3.
Yeah, man. But you know, if you like guitars, this album is for you. And if you like guitar solos, this album is for you. You have to listen to this, like literally listen to this. I remember I was recording Touch the Sun, and they had just written I can't even speak English. We just written that together, one of the last songs before I had left the band, and the very end part where they're doing the dueling guitars, that wasn't in the song at the time. So I had written my part, and then they after me, they had written this awesome, just most incredible, just guitar part at the very end of that song. And so when I'm sitting in here and I'm listening to the track about to record my vocals, I'm like, what? And I had to like rewind it, because I was so amazed by what I just heard. And I was like, okay guys, what's going on? So that's just one of those things. Like, I think, I guess going back to your question, I think the next thing that we want to do, you know, after trying to get our name back out, is, you know, work on some new stuff and show everyone else that, yes, this is how we did things before, but now that we have advanced in our musical talent, you know, this is what we can do now. And Color Fades to Gray, which is the one of the songs on our album, that's a brand new tune that we just wrote for the album. So, you know, it's basically in memory of Mark, our other guitar player. He was in a band called Alice in Red, and they had a guitarist named Tracy Lane, and he had passed away a couple years ago. So basically that's what that song is, in remembrance of him. So we wanted to make something new, and man, it turned out great. Jimmy, you did great on that mandolin part.
From the mirror, the fire is I'm indolent. I still have one fight in me. A blade of Canada, a battle I'll never forget. I left on work to join.
Omnism, Undone.
Yeah, that's something, you know, I hadn't yet started to play back then. Something, an instrument I always wanted to pick up, but I just didn't feel like I had time to take away from the guitar to learn a new instrument. But since that time, I've become a, you know, a huge mandolin guy, you know, and so it was cool to add that touch into the song. And yeah, it really came as easy as the other tunes did, you know, 15 years ago. Started with Mark came up with a guitar progression and sent it to Alex. And within like 30 minutes, he had the lyrics written. And then it was a matter of, okay, let's, you know, everybody kind of get our parts recorded. That was really the only new thing, was just each of us recording our parts individually, you know, joining the Pepsi generation here and adapt doing that. But yeah, I mean, that turned out so well. I mean, there's definitely no reason, you know, that we can't just keep moving forward with that same formula and everything. And who knows what the future holds, you know. Live shows, don't know yet, with us being in different areas, but yeah, again, that was a great song, and it ended up coming together really easily and fits right in with where we left off.
Definitely.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Well, those are some great goals, and we're definitely looking forward to that. I guess we'll wrap this up. Where can our fans find you guys? Where can we find you on social media? Plug all your sites.
Yeah, if you hit up Facebook, it's at Radio King Band on Facebook, or facebook.com/Radio King Band. We're also on Twitter, at Radio King Band. And you know, definitely look us up on Spotify. We got all of our stuff on Spotify, so you know, that's basically our main digs right there.
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, you know, our old website is still up from like 15 years ago. It's like, I just don't know how to cancel it. It's still there, you know. So if you want to go to, I think it's, you'd have to go to radiokingband.com/home. And it would take you, it's got everything, old bios, old interviews, song clips and demos. It's got like kind of a daily diary that I was keeping up with even prior to Alex, our search for a singer, and after we found Alex and everything. So it's kind of a time capsule in itself, you know, prior to MySpace taking over everything, you know. So yeah, radiokingband.com/home .htm, and you can find all kinds of cool photos and show dates and all that kind of stuff. So anytime these guys ask me a question about something we did, I just go back to that and have to look, you know. But yeah, so that's still up there, out in the, you know, web universe forever.
Awesome.
Wait,
awesome.
I got to get off here too. I got to start a lesson, but great talking with you. Good to see you, Alex.
Hi, Jimmy.
Yeah, man. Have a Take good care, one. Buddy.
All right, dude. Thank you.
Awesome.
Cool. Before I let you run, do you have any advice for any up and coming bands that are trying to make a name for themselves in the music industry?
Man, I think the biggest thing, you know, and it's still hard for everyone, you know, it's not easy to make it. And I think, you know, I went through when I did leave Radio King, you know, it's been 15 years and I didn't do anything. You know, I didn't join another band. I didn't write any music. I just stepped away from it all because I got discouraged. You know, you just, at that time I was just kind of young and naive and I was thinking, okay, well, you know, we should have been big by now and, you know, nothing happened. And, you know, I felt like at the time that nothing was going to happen, but, you know, my advice to people now is, you know, don't worry about that. You know, just keep going, do what you love, keep, you know, playing guitars and singing and, you know, whatever you do, just keep doing it because it's important to you. And that's all that matters. It shouldn't matter, like, you know, how many people you got listening or how famous you are. You know, that's just the biggest thing. But as far as, you know, trying to get your name out, you know, social media is the biggest thing. You know, running ads and all that kind of stuff. Definitely been doing a lot of that, trying to get our name out and trying to get some reviewers, you know, people like you. You know, I wanted to commend you, Wes, because, you know, what you're doing is important as well. You know, highlighting these independent bands is important because, you know, this is a world of pop stars and rock stars and, you know, people just seeing the most popular ones, but, you know, there's so much good music out there by people you have no clue who they are and it's undiscovered. And people like you are shining lights on just the wonderful music that could be forgotten. You know, that's my biggest worry about this whole thing is no one's going to hear this. You know, no one's going to listen to my songs. No one's going to, you know, read my lyrics. You know, that's my biggest worry about all of this, because I know it's something special and I know that it's, you know, it's worth someone's time to listen to it. So, you know, just keep plugging it, keep going out and keep trying, you know, keep bettering yourself and training and, all, I mean, to this day, I'm still, you know, watching videos on YouTube on different techniques of, you know, vocally and stuff like that. Because if you don't change how you're doing things, then, you know, you're just going to fall by the wayside, you know?
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. And I appreciate the kind words. And speaking of ads, I think that's how I found you guys, was one of your ads on Facebook. And I was like, hey, who's this? Clicked and I was not disappointed at all.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I appreciate that.
And one other thing, you mentioned Allison Red, got to see them in Atlanta. God, it's been years ago. It was before their band member passed. And man, they were killer. Dude, they were absolutely just a killer band.
Yeah, man. Two of the members, John Cruz is just our bass player. And Mark, their guitar player, they're both in Radio King. So
yeah, that's awesome.
That was one of their, you know, right now they're just kind of trying to figure it all out. Cause yeah. You know, when someone like that passes away, it's a big dent in, you know, who you are as a band.
Right. And it's not that easy just to pick up and go, all right, well, you know, we still got to make music. Cause you know, it's more than that. I mean, by that point, you're a family, period.
Well, yeah. That's your brother.
Yeah. So I may play some of their stuff on this show just because, you know, because it was really good. It was, I enjoyed them. I did.
Yeah. They just released their new album, you know, without him. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite on that album is Silence. So if you ever hear that one, check that one out.
Yeah, I'll get that one. I think I'll spend that one. Well, man, I appreciate you sitting in. This was fun. We'll do this again. We'll catch up, you know, soon.
Yeah, Wes, man, just hit me up.
Yeah, and you're in our Discord now, so.
I am.
Cool. Dude, we'll keep in touch, and we'll do this again.
All right, brother. Well, you have a good rest of your weekend. Everyone out there, have a good rest of your week.
You do the same, man. Shout out you later.
All right, man. See ya.
Bye.
Radio King, turn away.
The man of opportunity.